welcome to another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials, where we help you accelerate your career and turn soft skills into hard money.
Hey, thanks for listening in to another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials. Today, I want to walk through the World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs report for 2025 and just share a few observations I make. So, one, if you see on YouTube, you can see the page I'm looking at here. I believe I'm on page 34. Otherwise, in the show notes, I'll give you a link to this report. The reason I bring this up is you may have heard of a sister company we have called People First Method, where we help people turn soft skills into hard money. And that is of an ever-increasing demand and importance as we think about how to leverage AI across the landscape of our professional world. Many people think that AI is going to replace humans in many capacities. I am one who happens to disagree with that significantly. I think that it's the soft skills that'll enable us to figure out where should AI be employed. What are those people first, you know, kind of co-op AI use cases that would have really good returns and people would love it across the chain of value, including the customer, the people who are going to be leveraging that, and the internal teams. So I wanted to also make one announcement before we start, which is the release of our school communities. So I have two communities now, one which is called On the Incline, which helps you solve your most difficult challenges so you can make more money. And so that might be, if you think about having 1-2 hours access to a consultant, that could cost you significantly and be difficult because many of them won't do a contract of that size. Whereas I'm enabling you access through this community to help solve your most difficult challenges. It's free for a limited time, so I recommend you head over to school. And the second one is for People First Method, where we're helping people learn the process of understanding what are these soft skills, why are they important. And when it comes to Salesforce projects and other technical projects like it, these projects fail at a rate of 45-95%. That's what my data across 25,000 plus projects over 30 years delivers. And it's a very sad reality. So I want to help increase the success rate of projects, which means helping you have a bigger brag book, helping you have better things you can put on your resume, and ultimately delivering greater success for those in the Salesforce ecosystem and beyond, and a much more happy customer base. So let's look at this World Economic Forum evaluation. This is looking at core skills in 2025. And this is looking at employers who consider these stated skills to be core for their workforce. So this is what they're looking for because they believe these skills are going to be making a difference for them in their marketplace with their customers. So number one on the list is analytical thinking. Now I have a question. You may have seen a post on LinkedIn or elsewhere that talk about what happens if ChatGPT or Gemini or any other AI tool, what if it goes down for a day? Do you maintain your ability to be thoughtful, to analyze, to have critical thinking? You may have heard of a report from MIT that highlighted that people who use ChatGPT significantly have cognitive decline. So this is an interesting aspect that number one is the ability to have analytical thinking. And this is the ability for you to process, to listen, to be able to organize that information, and to be able to consider both sides, to be able to think about contrary views, to be able to discern maybe gaps in the information, what's missing, what are potential outcomes. This is a significantly valuable skill, and it's the number one on the list, and it's one you want to make sure that you never lose. So when you think about leveraging AI in various aspects of your day-to-day world, think about where are the areas that I probably will avoid using AI, even if I could, because I don't want to lose that muscle. I don't want to lose that analytical thinking skill that I have that absolutely can decline. And it takes work. It takes effort to improve, especially as we grow in the horizon of information that we're covering and the complexity and depth of that information as we peruse it and dig into it. Number two, resilience, flexibility, and agility. So this speaks to the idea of this is at 67% of businesses believe this is core. And this speaks to that aspect of essentially the new volatility in the marketplace today, where businesses will need to change directions, will need to update processes. The idea that I'm going to have something that I do and I'm going to be able to continually do that for the next months, years, or decades, in most industries, I think that is not going to be reasonable. There's going to be a necessity for us to learn, to be adaptable, and to consistently grow with the expectation that the only thing that is unchanging is the presence of change. So resilience also speaks to this emotional strength and courage, the ability to endure things when they don't work the first, second, third, or fourth time, the ability to encounter hurdles and roadblocks and have an emotionally committed attitude that just tells ourselves that there is a way, that I'm going to get around this, I'm going to get over this, I'm going to reach out, leverage AI to find information, do research, talk to people, I'm going to find a way to get this done. That is a valuable skill, and it does take practice. So that's number two. Number three, leadership and social influence. And I think this is less about the topics and more about the habits and the abilities you have around any topic that needs to be socialized through an organization. How can you do that? And what's interesting, this is one thing we touch on a lot at People First Method, is how do you influence people that you have no authority over? You're not their boss. You can't make decisions about what they should and should not be doing, but yet influencing them needs to be an important part of what you do in your business and in your relationship with that business. So that's a key skill of understanding how to influence people that you do not have authority over and how to lead others who have a decision and a choice as to whether or not they want to follow and sign on to what it is that you're doing. Very important skill, number three. Number four, creative thinking. This is 57% of businesses believe that this is core. And creative thinking is around not only on the visual, but thinking about how do I step outside the normal swim lanes of what I'm doing to think about other ways of executing, maybe bringing in more biographical information. Certainly, we are overwhelmed with data and our access to data today. So what people want is they want more human connection. So thinking creatively about how to leverage that, how to bring new ideas to the table, and how to be courageous enough to raise those new ideas when some people, in their lack of maturity or their being committed to the status quo and the way things have always been done, will try and shoot down that idea because it's threatening. So that's a significant one at number four, creative thinking. Number five, motivation and self-awareness. 52% of businesses believed that this was a very core skill. Now let's start with self-awareness because that's an important one. Many people don't realize, especially with the rise of AI, how they might be perceived and what they might be pushing forward. For example, if you use AI extensively, it's important to recognize that hallucinations will be present in what it is that you're providing. And your self-awareness is going to help you recognize that, you know what, that's probably the case. So I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to make sure I find citations. I'm going to examine those citations and see if the source data actually asserts what the AI bot has told me. I'm going to recognize a little bit of, what am I perceived as when I write like this, when I communicate like this, when I cut people off or interrupt them, when I'm not open to their ideas, when I don't give recognition to others when they deserve it. This self-awareness, I think, makes a significant difference in the job that you love or don't love. The one that you want to stay in and see a future, or the one that you're just there phoning it in until you find something better. The other aspect of this is motivation. Do you need someone to be checking in on you in order to keep your work moving forward, especially when it encounters those roadblocks and those hurdles? Or are you managing by your own calendar and driving yourself to perform and to come up with solutions and even thinking about carve-outs and fragments and making small incremental progress to keep moving forward and then letting others know about your progress? This is a big one. The ability for you to be self-motivated without external stimuli. That means that you don't need somebody else or any other tool or aspect to check in on you. You are committed and you're going to get it done because you have that standard of excellence. And that tells other people that when they delegate something or ask for your help, you are dependable. You will get it done, or you will come back to them and let them know what needs to happen to help you get it done. So that's number five. Number six is technological literacy. This one is 51% consider this core, because certainly we are in an increasingly technical world and marketplace. And so you're going to need to learn lots of new tools. I'm using Zoom Clips right now, for example, which is a new tool I've recently learned. And that's just going to be commonplace. So that goes, it really ties into the resilience that we learned early on, our own motivation and creative thinking. These things all dovetail and tie in together. But this one is the ability for you to pick up new tools as they become available, new features of existing tools as they are added, so you can continue adding value and leveraging them for the benefit of your job and of your organization, and certainly for your own growth as well. But this goes into that idea of change, and people have very different perspectives about how they feel on change. I, for one, am hypertense toward change. I'm always looking at improved ways of doing things, but I know I'm strange. So many of us have to think about creating incentives and reasons why change is something that's favorable and something that I can look at positively. Now, change is the balance. If you go too fast, now that's not good, because it's hard for people to get traction and for really to onboard to what it is that you're speaking about or you're recommending. So there's definitely a balance, and the people first priorities need to take the lead there, knowing who your audience is. But the key is making sure that you have that level of literacy so you can kind of cover your bases for what you need to do and have information that you can share to others and help them become more literate as well. That's a key aspect of adding value in your wake, learning what you need to learn to do your job, and then maybe creating artifacts and other elements behind you that help others do the same in an accelerated way. So that is number six. Number seven is empathy and active listening. Empathy, in my estimation, is the number one skill humans possess that AI does not. And this is a key one. Really, it's the ability for you to step in and perceive and kind of comprehend the world from another one's vantage point. And so your ability to do this and to speak in such a way that conveys this really grows trust with people. Active listening is a core component of this that's mentioned. And let's see, it says 50% of businesses find this to be a core skill. Your ability to listen to someone, not in a hurried up fashion that they would just finish so you can get your point across, but really being open to learning and seeing if there's something new and different about what they're saying that would inform your current position. And active listening is asking questions, being responsive to what it is that they're saying and following up, digging in. Boy, how valuable do people realize and recognize when you are asking them questions and being interested in what they are speaking about and what they know about and their life experience. I think this actually, beyond helping you be successful, just makes your work environment so much more appealing and valuable. And I can't imagine people wanting to leave an environment where people are really strengthened in this element of empathy and active listening. So coming in at number 8 is curiosity and lifelong learning. Now, I love this one as well because I'm infinitely curious. I love learning about everything, but I recognize it takes a lot of energy to do that. So this is an area that is important to grow in. And I think one aspect that's critical here as it relates to curiosity is many times there isn't a clear and evident ROI. There's not a clear reward on what learning about some of these elements are at any given time. So you might need to invest without having a clear reason why, but just spend an appropriate amount of time. Maybe it's just 5 or 10 minutes, but you want to dig in just a little bit more to see what this CLIPS element is, how it can help, because someone might ask you in a week or two about this topic and you're going to have some information to share. That's the way I look at ROI, is that I want to increase the tools on my belt, even if I don't need them today, because someone else might need to borrow that tool in the future. And that makes it all worth it to me because I want to be part of their success. So this aspect of being curious, let's see, it looks like 50% of businesses believe that this is a core skill for their team. And lifelong learning is important because we recognize, in addition to the technical literature we talked about earlier, the ability to kind of deal with the volatility and the resilience, this aspect of being committed to learning, that who I am today is not who I need to be tomorrow. And the job I got today, I'm not preparing myself for a particular job or set of tasks. I'm preparing myself to be ready for whatever the job or set of tasks will entail in the future because they are changing. So it's a different mindset and requires a different perspective as it relates to what it is that you do day in and day out to master your craft. We have to be committed to learning ongoing. It's just part of the deal. There's no aspect, in my opinion, in any job today where I know what I know and I just use the knowledge that I have and I'm expecting that to maintain my success and value for some time in the future. There needs to be that aspect of, even if I know that for my particular technical skill, or if I'm a plumber or an electrician or whatever it might be, I need to learn a lot more soft skills around it. How to engage with people, how to convey this information, how to onboard other people onto this skill so they can learn it too, how to find more and creative uses for this skill in the marketplace, and how to make others aware of when to think about these aspects and bring me into the conversation. It's just endless, which to me makes it quite valuable. I think it makes it exciting and fun. So that's definitely an aspect that we have to grow, which is in curiosity and lifelong learning at number 8. Number 9 is talent management. And 47% of businesses believe this is core. And this is the aspect of you. I believe it's even beyond going as a team leader or a manager, because I think every peer among a team has an aspect of team management to think about those high empathy considerations. You know, are my team members overworked? Are they stressed? Do they feel, is now a good time to talk about maybe some constructive criticism or some corrective action? Or is it maybe better later? Is now a good time to give some recognition and to really lift people up? Knowing all of that is part of the talent management aspect, and it's even more critical for a manager who, unfortunately, more and more of our day-to-day work lives in a remote or hybrid environment are mediated by impersonal means. So we're using email, we're using Slack, we're using all of these various tools that essentially demean and undermine the human connection between these team members. And I also hear a lot of this tension of, like, you know, if I'm a manager or I'm a leader, I can't be friends with the people that I work with because I'm their manager. I would encourage you to discard and trash that attitude. You can maintain a high level of accountability and excellence when you have A players. And you don't need to have this aspect that we can't enjoy each other or really have a relationship and friendship wise if you also work with me. It just needs to be mature. And we just need to declare it up front and be clear in our communication and be respectful and reciprocal in how we deal with people. Because certainly, right, don't you want people to succeed, whether they're how long they're with you on your team and even beyond? Wouldn't you want to have some contribution to them as a mentor long after they work for you? So this aspect of talent management is both for peers as well as for leaders and managers, so that you can really dig in. And I believe these soft skills, these intangibles, are a critical part of it, because we need to increase the interaction and surface area of these human people first priorities in an increasingly impersonal and technically mediated world. And finally, number 10 is service orientation and customer service. So this is I think it's a posture. It's a frame of mind of when you come to the situation, that am I here to assert my position? Am I here to really just kind of push my narrative of what I believe has happened here because it's a nuisance to me, because it's annoying? How often in your workplace do you hear people come and when they get off the phone with a customer, the first thing they do is complain? Oh my gosh, these people are so stupid. They're idiots. Why don't they read the manual? Why don't they follow directions, watch the video? That is the opposite of this attitude. This attitude is recognizing that there's a lot of reasons why people find themselves in challenging situations with products and services, that it's not perfect. Everybody's coming from a different position, and giving people that benefit of the doubt and that awareness or that ability to be honest about their own challenges and their own shortcomings is really critical. And this is not just with customers. This is also with your peers and those inside your organization, that this aspect of who are my first customer? Aren't your first customers those on your own team and in your own organization? Shouldn't you have this this service orientation for all of those around you, figuring out how can I serve them? How can I find them what they need? How can I make them more successful? Certainly in my world, I want my tombstone to say that John just played better when he was on their team. Excuse me, that people just played better when John was on their team. That's the key. So this is an aspect that is not just for managers, is definitely for everyone, but having this service orientation that you want to hear people out, leverage that empathy, figure out a perspective that may be different from yours or a situation that you haven't heard of yet, and figure out, even if it's not what you expected or something that's in your typical wheelhouse, but how can you advance and make that better for them? Can you call someone? Can you loop somebody in? Can you jump in with them and see if you can find a workaround? This is the aspect of expending time and effort to really advocate for someone else's success even more than your own. It's a way to kind of deliver on the golden rule in your day-to-day world. So that is the top 10 core skills in 2025 from the World Economic Forum Future of Jobs Report. What I think is fascinating is that AI is not in the top 10. AI does come in number 11. Where 45% of businesses believe this is core. But the top 10 are all aspects that you can dig into and learn without actually digging in deeply to AI. I think we're in the first wave of AI, which is looking to see about automation and trying to fulfill an unrealized potential, a false promise, in my opinion, about replacing people. The second wave will come after that one fails, and it will be much more focused on people-first concerns about augmenting and supporting people and helping them do more of what they do best. I would encourage you, as you think about your role, it's kind of split into three parts: the why, the what, and the how. And it's these intangible soft skills that help you deliver on the most important aspects of those roles, which is the why and the what. And then there'll be lots of help as it relates to the how, because that is something that AI might be able to help with once you've already made the decision on the why and the what, which will take a lot more interaction with people as leadership is increasingly shared among groups and getting to the right answers in a way that doesn't ever offend anybody, that encourages people to be vulnerable, that puts them in the right setting where they can be honest with you. That is a significantly needed skill and is not prevalent in the marketplace and in businesses. So thanks for listening today. I encourage you, please join my school at On the Incline or at People First Method. so we can continue to dig deeper and I can help you be more successful by solving your most difficult challenges. Please see the show notes for more, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials. If you found this episode valuable, we would love your help reaching others. Please subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this with another who would benefit.